He got one of these last night. He was trying to tell me how to use it. I remember him asking me, but now he done exceeded me. He done went to the book and followed instructions. Now me, I'm just kind of hitting and missing. But on a day just like today, people are getting saved. Man, it's good that God's grace is given to man. That God has something better in mind than what we have down here. Something better in mind.
Amen. Yeah.
Man, the Bible says seek the things of God.
That's right.
It seems like, boy, everybody's got a worldly appetite. Listen, you get filled with the things of the world and you're still hungry.
Right.
You can get an example of the things of God and oh, you talking about satisfied. Hallelujah, glory to God. Man, I tell you what, I'm glad God is gracious. The Bible talked about the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The Bible talked about God coming to Peter. And he said, come and die. Bread and fish on the fire. I'm glad he's that kind of God. Amen. When Peter done denied the Lord three times, and on the third time he took God's name in vain, and man, that's just about as far as you can go in denying the Lord, but I'm glad the Lord still was interested in Peter, still come to him in that sad condition, came to him and said, come and dine. If anybody got a special on your heart this morning, don't knock me down. And if not, well, we'll open up our Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. I'm like old Paul that said, I'm ready to preach to you in Rome. Also, he said, as much as in me, I'm ready. 2 Kings. I got this message on a Wednesday night. This week at work, I looked up there at the clock. When God brought this message to my mind, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I have to admit, I'd rather preach it right then. But I praise the Lord that God gives not only thought, but inclinations concerning His Word. And I said 2 Kings. I believe I told you wrong. This is the second time I wrote it wrong. But I think it's 1 Kings. Let's see here. Well, I might be wrong. Maybe it is 2 Kings. Maybe I am. All right, it is 2 Kings. Chapter 7. Forget that. What in the world? Oh, yeah, I'm right. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm just mixed up on the message. That's what it is. The Scripture's right. I'm just mixed up on what I'm trying to read here. The Scripture's right. 2 Kings chapter number 7. And I'll read part of these verses and stop. I'll read this whole chapter because I'm going to be preaching expository this morning, which just mainly means expounding upon the Scriptures. But we'll read part of this Scripture, go to God in prayer, and we'll eventually read this whole chapter. So we'll start reading in verse number 1, and we'll stop at verse number 2, and I'll comment on the rest of these. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now that's what we need to do today. You know, we got ears. God gave us two. The reason for that is because we need to hear twice as much as we speak. The Bible said a wise man studies to answer. It says, study to be quiet. And, you know, we rattle on like crazy. And this confusion of the day and hour we're living in, one of the reasons there's so much confusion is we're not hearing the word of the Lord. Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. We'll stop our reading right there and pray with me. We'll preach today a message on what have you got to lose. Help me pray. Father, we love you this morning. We've just got lips of clay. But Lord, with those lips of clay, we want to praise you. We want to proclaim the great truths of thy word. Lord, no man, according to Peter, can minister without the help of God. Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And we pray for that ability this morning that you might minister to us and through us today. Open not only our ears, But open the eyes of our understanding and our heart, that we may be able to take, Father, this message today as it is from the Word of God, that, Lord, the truths that it tells are still true today. And, Lord, help us, I pray, for the day and hour we're living in, Lord, and for such a time as this, Father, we're getting closer to home. Not there yet, but it's nearer than when we believed. Lord, I pray our hearts will be challenged today by the Word of God. And we'll give You the praise and the glory. Thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. What have you got to lose? Now, this verse here, verse number 2, talks about a scoffer at the message from the Word of God. Here's a man. He's got somewhat of authority. He's a man on whose hand the king of Israel leans upon. And this man with some sort of authority answers the man of God, Elisha, and he's scoffing at this statement, and he said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" He's saying it's impossible. What you're saying just can't be. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that in the last days there would be scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they do unto this day." Everybody hears the Word of God differently. Everybody wonders about what God's Word actually says. Well, this is a good example here. Clear message, a proclamation from a preacher, and he says, "I know it's bad, but it's going to get better." And this man here, contradicting the preaching of a man of God, he said, "Might there be windows in heaven, this thing might be true." Scoffers, we got them today. They scratch their head. The Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity with the things of God. It says to be not carnally minded, and I think a lot of us are. And our carnality lots of times hinders what we do for God, and we get second guessing God and saying, "Lord, it won't do no good." You know, if today God told you to do something, would you do it? You ought to answer that yourself. You don't have to answer that loud. But if God told you today to go do such and such a thing, would you do it? A while back, I mentioned some of the women here in the church about going, you know, and baking a cake for somebody that didn't know. And a lot of them did it, to my surprise. I'm looking at two of them right now that actually done that. And they told me what a blessing that was to make a cake for somebody that didn't even know and just take it to them and give it to someone and say, "God, put it in my heart to do this. I hope you enjoy it," and just run out real quick. You know, God told you to do something, that's what you need to do. And here this prophet is. He's got the message, you know, for the hour. I mean, buddy, it's tough times, Howard. I mean, buddy, they're hungry. Things ain't been going good. And people starting to question God and doubt God. And right in the middle of that, here's a scoffer. You always count on the scoffers. And he just kind of waters down what's been said. He said, "If God made windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Well, we want to get off of that scoffer, and I want to get on to this next verse. But you got the willing. Here's four leprous men. They ain't got a whole lot going for them. They're here at the inner end of the gate, and they say one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine's in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now, you got scoffers, and they ain't going to do nothing. And you got men here, and they're really not able to do nothing, but they're willing to at least try. These willing here, Man, I tell you what, buddy, I'm going to read on down to verse number 11 about these men here, because they was willing to get up out of the circumstances they were in and willing to go with the Word of God and willing to do what God has said. And if we had more willing today, willing to go, willing to try, I believe we'd get more done for God today, amen. Amen. They come, said there was no man there. They was expecting a great army. But verse 6 says, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they had said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." Let me tell you something. God can make things out of nothing. I mean, the Bible said He spoke and it stood fast. He commanded, amen. And there it was. And He sent a man of God and said, "Help on the way." And even in the midst of a scoffer, Brother Nevin, four men were still willing to get up and go. Says, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried hence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it." They must have been Baptist. They said, "This thing ain't gonna last long. Let's do something here so we'll have some for later." I mean, God done give them everything they need and then some. They said, "Let's go hide some for later." I mean, I'm telling you. He said, that describes you and me to a team. God pour out a blessing on us and we think we need to do something, or else we won't have enough blessing, or else it'll be gone. And they went and hid some of this. Because they couldn't understand. Like you and me, we just can't understand how God does things. And I'm thinking in my mind how God ought to do something. And God says, "Buddy, I don't need you to tell me how to do things. Just stand still and I'll open up a Red Sea and just show you what kind of God I am. I'll make a way for my people to cross on dry land. And I'll show them Egyptians that think that they're greater than me how insignificant grasshoppers they are, because when they attempt to follow my people into the promised land, I'm going to bring judgment down upon them." Man, what a God. We got more God than we need. If we could just learn to trust. Old song said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." If God could somehow give us eyes of faith and a heart willing to believe and not struggle or not stutter or not hesitate to go with God, even though it looks like it's going to be a rough road, not look for an easier way, not worry about what's coming, but rather just trust God, I believe we could still see some of this stuff today. Man, God didn't have much to work with. Four leprous men, good as dead. Man, it's not like they chose high candidates. Four leprous men. And they took some of this spoil here and they hid it. They came again and entered in another tent, carried hence also, went and hid it. Then said they one to another, "We do not well this day. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace, and we tear the morning light. Some mission will come upon us. Now therefore let us come, we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called into the port of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and tents as they were." I tell me, he called the porters and they told it to the king's house within. And they're bringing a report of this. They said, "We can't even put it into words." I mean, Keith, they said there's blessings. There's food to be had. Man, there's gold. There's silver. There's horses. There's asses. There's tents. It's everywhere, man. Somebody said, Yeah, there's one that's in heaven, maybe. But Linda, you know what? They still brought that report. They said, "We've seen it. Man, we tasted of it. I mean, it's there. Just what happened. You know, the world looks on us like we're some kind of aliens or some kind of strangers from another country or something. And they wonder why we don't run the same excessive ride as they do. And they wonder why we sleep like a baby and wake up in the morning. And I tell you what, buddy, just as blessed could be, and go out in the day and just singing up a storm and enjoying the things of God and even having nothing up, you're as happy as you can be.
Yeah.
I was out there working this week, and there's a black girl come through the work place, and I seen her singing. I said, "Is it that good, sister?" She said, "Oh, it's better than that." I said, "You must be talking about the Lord." She said, "Absolutely." I said, "We're on the same page." I said, "Let me rejoice with you." I said, Psalms 144, verse 15 says, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Yeah. Happy is that people's in such a case. Have nothing, still shout the shoelaces off. And rejoice in the things eternal, not temporal. They brought this report. Man, they brought it to the porter. And they told it to the porter. Man, they told it to the king's house. And the king arose. I mean, verse 12. In the night. You know, he's trying to... Every now and then, if I get troubled, and I do occasionally, I'll go to sleep thinking somehow I'll wake up and it'll be better. And I believe that's what this king is doing. He's sleeping, hoping when he wakes up it might be better. And here he is, he wails in the night, and he said to his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done unto us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they go out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we'll catch them alive and get into the city." And one of the servants here answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there is a multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, there are even all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see." Now the king, you had the scoffers. Then you got the king, he's a doubting this report. He said, "Yeah, it might be there, but we better not go out. Because if we go out, it's a trap. The devil's got it all set up." And let me still say this, the devil does set some traps. The Bible talked about Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. Talks about many falling into the snares of Satan. And the devil does set traps. That's why you do need to have a little discernment, a little bit of wisdom, amen. But in this case, a preacher told them, it's going to be such and such. All they had to do was accept the report of the preacher. Even in the midst of the scoffer, even in the midst of the doubting king, all they had to do is go and see this great blessing. I can just see this dilemma now. Here's a bunch of hungry people, Carolyn. Man, they're sitting there thinking, man, we can have something to eat today. All we got to do is just get up and go. It's there. It's there for the asking. It's there for the having. It's waiting on us to come. You know, that's the way salvation is. It's there. It's there for the whosoever. It's there for that one that's nearing death. You know, I think about this situation, this dilemma. I look at America and it's struggling. Not only financially, but it's really struggling spiritually. And they're wondering which way's the right way. And they're wondering which one's got the right message. I say, throw it all away. I quit mingling with this bunch of lying, doubting heathen that's brought all this damnable heresies into America. Get back to thus saith the Word of God and find out, praise God, He's still more than able to help this country, even in the condition it's in. I tell you what, this old king here, he also doubted the word of the man of God. This servant of his scoffed at the word of God. But here's one willing, like the lepers, here's one willing to go a little further. Verse 13, I've done read it, said one of his servants answered and said, "Let some take, I pray thee." Shows you how desperate they are. Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city, and let us send and see. Let's find out the legitimacy of this. It might be true. Let's go check it out. You know, I don't think nobody will ever get saved until they check it out, send and see. You know, you got to be willing. You got to be willing to call upon God. You got to be willing to take His Word. You got to be willing in simple childlike faith to Ask God to save you. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to make what you need real at that time. I don't know about y'all, but the Bible said the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, God said, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Boy, I wonder how shallow our faith is. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns on the earth, shall he find
faith?
Yeah. Where does that faith come from? Romans 10:17. Now faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You know why that Bible's being attacked? Well, they're trying to attack your faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, they come out with a new Bible. It seems like it come out one every day. It's amazing how man has tried to undermine the Word of God. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle will fail from that Word. I mean, it's all going to leave except that. And that's going to remain. And that's why we need to learn it. That's why we need to live by it. That's why we need to realize where it proceeded from, what it's for. But here's one also like those lepers that's willing. He said, let's go sin and see. Verse 14 said, they took therefore two chariot horses. And the king sent after the host of the Syrian, saying, go and see. And they went after them under Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Now here it is, it's concrete evidence. Everything this preacher says has been true. Now it's been hard to believe. The skeptics, the doubters have all been convinced now. It's even greater than it was declared, Sophie. I mean, it's laying everywhere. It's knee deep. And all of a sudden now they realize the reality of this. There's only one thing left, and that's just go out there and get some of it, amen. I mean the reality of heaven. I don't know about y'all, but it registered down in my soul. April 27th, 1988, and heaven came down in my heart. And I don't know about y'all. Don't hold it against me if it wasn't like this with y'all. But I thought when I opened my eyes, I thought I was going to be in heaven. And I was a little disappointed. I mean, I'm talking about heaven came down in my heart and in my soul. And I'm praying and I'm in deep contrition. And I'm calling upon one that I don't know. I'm asking Him to do for me what I've never had done before. And I'm in childlike faith saying, Lord, now, somebody told me You love me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask You, You'd forgive me my sins. And He saved my soul. And heaven come down in my heart. And I opened up my eyes and I was a little disappointed, Keith. I thought I was going to be in heaven. And I'm as good as there already. Because the Bible said we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And my citizenship, by the way, what it's worth, is in heaven now. On the roll up there in heaven, William, now it's got 80 weight as a citizen. I just haven't arrived yet, but I'm already a citizen of that country, amen. I mean, that's where my home is. I'm just kind of soul journey down here. I'm just in a pilgrimage down here trying to see if I can talk anybody else to coming up there. Amen. That's why we're His witnesses. We got done praying last night. We come out of church praying last night. Rick said, man, it's awful dark out here. It got dark early tonight. I said, yeah, Brother Rick. I said, the Lord just reminded us how dark it's going to get when God takes the light out. You see, the Bible said we're the light of the world. We're His witnesses. We're not supposed to put a bushel over our light. We're supposed to let it shine that men might see not only God in us, but see that true light that lights every man comes in the world. But when they take a church out, boy, the darkness is coming. The devil's going to love it. He's going to have the advantage. He's going to be able to see the minds of people down here that took church and grace for granted. Right now, buddy, it's a whosoever bunch. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when God takes the church out, buddy, the program's going to change. It's going to be a whole lot harder than in heaven.
Yeah.
After God takes the church out, here's how you get to heaven. And you can't do it, but I'll tell you how. You're going to have to keep the Ten Commandments. Good luck with that, buddy. You break one of them, you're guilty of all of them, so good luck with that. I wish you the best. I'm going, but grace, you help yourself to keep those Ten Commandments. Not only are you going to have to keep those Ten Commandments, you're going to have the testimony of Jesus. Good luck with that. When the mark of the beast shows up, Antichrist, full power, I mean, nothing to resist him. You know why the Antichrist is not here right now? Because we're light. You know what light does? If we turn the lights off back there, darkness will take over. If you flip the lights back on, guess what? Darkness leaves. Because the light dispels the darkness. We're the light. When the light's gone, the darkness is going to cover the ground. The darkness is going to take over. And you're going to somehow have light in the midst of that darkness. They're going to stick out like a sore thumb. They're going to hunt you down like an animal. They're going to bring you out in public and humiliate you and behead you because of that name Jesus. Oh, I forgot that last point. You're going to have to keep the Ten Commandments. You're going to have a testimony of Jesus. And that last one, you're going to have to love not your life unto death. You're going to have to be willing to go up there and say, here's my head. Make a trophy out of it if you can. Good luck. Because they're going to take it. You might as well be like Enoch. Leave behind a testimony. You please God. Or you could just go in the age of grace. You could just let the Lord give you forgiveness, salvation, and His Son. The Bible said, he that has a Son has life. He that have not the Son of God has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. You can go the easy way, or you can go the hard way. But I promise you this, but it's there to be had. God's offering it. Amen. And I mean, there's ample supply. I mean, if the whole world wanted to get saved today, there'd be no danger of there not being enough. You know, every now and then we plan a meal. We always wonder, I guess y'all do, did I bring enough? Do I need to be careful not to eat too much? Well, let me tell you something, buddy. There's bread and fish to spare. Let me tell you something. God's got enough grace to save the whole world. And if it would be possible, He could even save the devil. But that's impossible because the devil has already been in heaven. He's already rebelled against the authority of God. You see, that rebellion is where the problem is. If you wasn't so rebellious in your heart, you'd already be right with God. You'd already be saved and living for God. But that rebellion that's in your heart, the devil loves it. And I had him come up trailing and put his arm around me at the age of 18 years old. And he lied to me. You know what he told me? He said, I got plenty of time. He said, you're just 18, you got plenty of time. Now let me echo what he said to me that day when I was 18. He'll tell you the same thing. Just remember this, the devil's a liar and the father of it. And all he's going to do is lie to you. And he's going to keep you as long as he can keep you. You need to break away from him and run to Jesus and find out, buddy, there's plenty to be had. And God's not only willing to give it, but He'll give it to you as much as you want. Oceans of it, amen. Oceans of it. It's His to give. I mean, you read that parable about people going out and working in the vineyard of God. Here's a man, he don't even work but an hour. God gave him the same wage. I thought about what a little bit I got to done, or what a little bit I got to do. And I thought, Lord, I've not got to do hardly anything. And I look at these monumental men of God that are pillars. I mean, like David's mighty men, just monumental, bigger than life. Done these great works for God. God said, I'm going to reward you all the same. I mean, just 1 hour in the field and I got a full day's reward. God's that kind of God. He's gracious, good, long-suffering, patient, usward. Man, He's so good. I wish we was more like Him. Amen? But oh, listen, there's plenty to be had. I mean, it's laying everywhere. Verse 16 said, and the people went out. Boy, if we could just get the message. If we could get it as it needs to be. I believe people will come out. I mean, these people are convinced. Brother Melvin, they're convinced this is reality. They're convinced the only reason they ain't got it because they ain't went out yet. And the Bible said they went out. And then they went out and spoiled the tenth of the Syrians. And it said, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. That's it in a nutshell. According to the word of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what, you can take somebody else's word if you want to. I'm going with God. Help yourself. It's free country. Yes. Somehow or another, through a great hardship, they got the gospel over in China. And them communists can't handle it, Sophie. I mean, we're talking churches with 5,000 people. And these communists are mad. They don't know what to do. I know one thing. They better be careful what to do. Because God said vengeance is His. He will repay. But I'm telling you, buddy, the Word of God got over there. And they ain't like you and me. They believed it. They received it. And they rejoiced in it. And the Word of God was to them like it is to me and you. But they received it. And I'm telling you, they embraced it. Amen. And they laid hold on eternal life. It's not as easy over in China as it is over here. You know what they said about us? They said they wish we'd step up to the plate. Ain't that something? We got so much in America and we do so little. Ain't that something? Over in China, I mean, they spread themselves in despair to get the Word of God to their family, to their friends. I mean, they put their lives in jeopardy. And we won't even pick up a phone. Say, I just want you to know I love you. Carolyn's always requesting prayer for her family, her brothers. We need to just keep hammering like a nail.
That's right.
Just keep driving it. Don't let up. And that niece, Sarah, you just don't never know when that next time that you talk to her, she's just going to see her saying, that's what I needed. Yes. You're going to say, it's been worth it. And I know it's been discouraging. I know it's took its toll on you and you wondered, well, Lord, is it ever going to come? I'll tell you what, when it does come, that's when you get that great joy. That's when you run out, woo, glory! That's when you get to reap what you've been sowing. Farmers get out there and work that ground, William. I believe they got faith. I don't believe they'd sow seed if they didn't have no faith, brother. I believe they go out there in faith and they work that ground. And I believe they choose that seed out, Keith. And I believe in faith they put it in the ground. And I believe they believe God to water it. I believe they believe God to give that increase. I believe one day they go out there like you plant your garden and they see a little green stuff come up through that ground and they say, hallelujah! It wasn't in vain. The Bible says, for as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I believe we will harvest if we faint not. I believe we will have a harvest. We'll reap if we just keep going. I don't know how much time. I don't know how close we are leaving. I just know I'm leaving. Amen?
Right
on time. I mean, he ain't going to be late. In an hour, people think not, he's coming. If he comes today, Sophie, I'll tell you right now, I may not be first on board, but I'm going to get on board, amen. I'll tell you right now, buddy, I'm going to take me a seat, amen. I'm going to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I've gone too far. Even let up. Much less even think of backing down. Man, I'll tell you what, every now and then I'm like that old guy. He used to put that baddie on his shoulder. I don't remember his name. He played in West or something, Adam West, or played in that movie there. Said, knock it off, I dare you. Every now and then I feel like that. I tell the devil, put my Bible and say, knock it off, I dare you. And yeah, I don't know if y'all old enough. I'm sure y'all older than me. I'm young in this church. But he said, knock it off. I dare you. Every now and then, Carolyn, I like to put that old King James Bible up here. And I like to tell that old devil, that old lying thing, knock it off, buddy. I dare you.
Yeah.
He's scared to touch that Bible. You know why? He's afraid some of it might go further than where it's going already. He'd like to come out and somehow stamp it out. Somehow try to put the fire out. But I'll tell you what, our God, the Bible said, He maketh His ministers a fire. I believe every now and then the devil says, Mayday, Mayday! It's breaking out again! Get the fire extinguishers out! Somebody's getting a little something! I'm afraid it's going to get out of control! We need to get over there quick! Give him a heart attack, amen? Glory! I'll tell you what, boy, my family knew I was fanatical and I still am. That may be the reason God called them all home. I wasn't about to let up, Linda. I want him to know, boy, what he'd done for me. I not only couldn't deny it, I was glad he did it. Man, I got up, looked in the mirror. That old mirror still showed me as it was, but inside it wasn't as it was. Inside, buddy, I mean, there was heaven in my soul. Amen. God help us. We might see these things that God's given us. I don't know why in the world we spend so much time complaining and murmuring. And I don't know, sitting idle and wondering what to do. Man, I'm telling you what, buddy. For such a time as this, that's why we're here. There were ones before us. Man, they done the work. All we are is just kind of riding on those coattails. But listen, those provisions. It said the people went out. And they said, man, it's everywhere. There's everywhere. I mean, there's just so much. It's just like that preacher said in verse number 18. It said, let me read verse 17. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. Well, he put the wrong man in charge. Keith, that's that man that scoffed at this prophecy, this preaching. And the king, you know, like it always is, they put the wrong one in charge. Out there while working, they'll put someone out there while working to run the thing. They don't know nothing about it at all. And you wonder why in the world they put somebody like that in charge. And he said, well, they got a degree. I said, so is a thermometer, but it don't do no good. All you do is stick it in your mouth. Hey, man. Put somebody in there. You know, Eric, I was really praying and hoping. I prayed hard for the little boy. That he get that job. He know what he's doing. And he know how it need to be done. It seems like they don't never put nobody in a position that needs a position. It just beats all I've ever seen. And that king put this man in charge. He wasn't the one need to be in charge. He scoffed at this. Here it is now, Sophie. It's a reality. And the king put this man in charge to go down there and to take charge. And he didn't even want, really, lack of better words, I don't think he wanted nothing to do with it. I think he about had mad. And I tell you what, all his scoffing had been for nothing. Then he put him in charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate and he died. You know what? You better be careful concerning this Bible right here. The Bible said, if you fall on this stone, talking about the Word of God, it's a tried and true stone. It's Jesus Christ. The Bible said, lo, I come, and the volume of the book, it's written to me, this Word of God, just like Christ, eternal. It says, if you fall on this stone, you'll live. But if this stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. I see men today like worms in the fire that have to choke out the words, God, you was right, I was wrong. God, you was righteous, I was wicked. I feel sorry for men that are contrary to what thus saith the Word of God and have to find out like this man the hard way. They didn't have to be that way. I mean, he could have swallowed his pride and could have said, glory to God, I was wrong. No, he went, took charge of the gate. The people trod over him. He died, as the man of God said, that spake to him when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that the Lord answered the man of God, and said, now, if behold, if the Lord shall make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Can you imagine being able to see people get saved and miss it and end up in hell? Yeah. That's what this story's about. Here's a man that heard the truth, scoffed at it, and then he saw the truth and was denied the privilege. I wonder the multitudes of people, buddy, that'll stand before God, small and great, like this man right here that scoffed at the preaching, scoffed at the Word of God, and said, I'll, like Frank Sinatra, I'll do it my way. You better be careful. God's not mocked. You might scoff, oh, Brother Eddie, it'd be all right, but don't scoff God. He's not scoffed. He's not mocked. God said what He meant what He said. You'd be a whole lot better off to see yourself as a man in need of God, swallow your pride. Verse 20 said, and so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. You see judgment there. In this store here, you got scoffers. You got people that are willing. You got doubters. You got provision. Now you got judgment. This man saw it, but he couldn't partake of it. That man must have thought he wished he'd have considered this offer instead of his foolish scoffing at God's promise and at God's provision. Not everybody's going to heaven. Everybody should. Everybody can. Boy, this day of deception we're living in, people putting decals all over their body and piercing themselves through with many sorrows and living in denial. Ain't it sick? Yeah. Go down to Walmart, turn your stomach. Man, you see old devil, he's been perverted, lost his first estate. And you see these people, they're losing their first estate. And here they are. They're not just perverted in their mind. Their body's perverted. They got decals all over them, and man, their hair is purple or green, and you know, they're just living in denial. The Bible said God's going to bring them into judgment. They won't be so happy about those decals and all that purple, green hair when they stand before God. Can you imagine those hell and degenerates? Can you imagine those, what's that, Billy Idol's, or whatever his name is, daughter, or whatever her name is, man, perverted in mind. God said He's ready. Margaret, He's ready to judge. He's ready to judge the quick and the dead. Man, I tell you what, I might have made a lot of mistakes, and I did. And I am ashamed of them. But I didn't make no mistake when I asked Him to be my Lord, my Savior, Sophie. That's the best deal I ever made in my life. Man, I tell you what, I traded my rags for the riches of heaven. And I may not show it down here, but you're looking at one of the richest men in Adair County. With true riches bestowed upon me through the abundant grace of my Savior that kind of broke the law to get me in, but He did. Grafted me in. Now I'm a spiritual seed of Abraham. Now, praise God, I'm somebody going somewhere, and Linda, I got somewhere to go. Woo! Hallelujah. Have a funeral sometime, you wonder where they went. Don't worry about me, I'll tell you exactly where I'll be. I'll be up on Mansion Avenue. I've already got a residence up there just awaiting me to take my occupancy. And when I get there, I'll finally be home. And I'll tell you right now, I won't be no stranger. And they said, we've been awaiting on you, been looking forward to you, in and out to the joys of the Lord. And I'll take me one and run his bills. Woo-hoo! And say, home at last. Finally, be able to enjoy the things that have been told. Right now, we just, by faith, through the promise of God, we see them and they're far off. But I'll tell you what, then, I won't need my glasses. Man, I won't need nobody to lead me by the hand. I'll just need them to get out of the way because I'm taking off. And I'll tell you right now, Sophie, you might be fast up there, but I promise you I'll at least keep up with you. Amen. And we'll take off down there kicking up gold dust and, woo! The half has not been told. And first thing we'll say, it was worth it. Yeah. I don't think nobody going to heaven saying, Lord, why'd I have to suffer? Why'd I have to bury my daughter? Why'd I have to bury my mom and dad? I believe we'll get up there and say, Lord, I didn't suffer nothing like I ought to. You was nice, kind, and gracious to me. Just light affliction. I believe every now and then we make too big a deal. As you listen to me, I'm going to be real clear right here. We make too big a deal out of God's will. I come in this world with nothing. And everything I get in life, I'm borrowing it. And just like Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. We really don't have anything that we can hold on to but Jesus. Everything else, I don't care how big a safe you got. I don't care how strong your house is built. I don't care who you know. Everything down here, buddy, is uncertain. There's only one thing I know that is certain. That's the Word of God and the promise of the One that gave it. You got something real this morning. I'll tell you what, when the smoke's cleared, you'll be fine. And if you got something other than Jesus Christ, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Lord, we thank You, Father, for the thought You give us today. Thank You, Father, be encouraged in our heart concerning the things of God. Lord, I don't know how the Word of God went this morning to others. I know how it went to me. I know how it blessed me. I know how it encouraged me and caused me, Lord, to want to go a little further for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. Lord, whatever needs to be done this morning, I pray to be done by the hand of God. And Lord, I pray people will be obedient in their heart to the beckoning of the Spirit of God. And whatever you do, we'll give You the praise and glory. And ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And like I said, if you need to do something this morning, by all means, with haste, run to Him. Talk to Jesus. You don't have to tell Brother Eddie. What else song say? I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. If you need to get to Jesus, if you need to get to Jesus this morning, you come up. I'll kneel down there with you and pray. You don't have to tell me.
I can hear my Savior calling.
He's calling. Is He calling you this morning?
Thank you.
How is it with you this morning? Think about it. You need to come. Won't you come? Is your heart beating like a jungle drum right now? Maybe the reason it is because God's wanting to talk to you. Maybe God's wanting to do something in your life. Bless you, Brother William. Appreciate this faithful brother. If nothing else, he's such a good example this morning. Lord, I thank you for Brother William. I thank you for him, God. And I thank God for Brother William. Lord, I wish we had 100 dudes like him that would show how easy it is to step out and come up into this altar and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I pray that you bless me today and help me today. Bless Brother William. Bless his family. Bless him as only you can with the blessings of God. Lord, I wish others would join him up here. And if not, Lord, you be the judge. Bless you, Brother William. I'll tell you right now, God wonders what's wrong with us. Maybe we need to answer that. What is wrong with us? How is it we're so slow to respond when God beckons us? He'll be the judge of that. He's been it. Brother Melvin, I'll tell you right now, I didn't bring no hand grenades or dynamite this morning. If God can't move you, I believe it'd be wasting my time to throw one anyway. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart this morning. What you got there, Sophie?
Well, when you was jumping up.
Yeah!
I jumped up.
Yeah.
I so
bless your heart.
Well,
yeah, man. She said, I felt like a jumping. See that Spirit of God, the Bible said it quickens us. It causes us, buddy, I mean to rise up and take flight, amen. Bless your heart.
We don't know. Anyway,
bless your heart, Sophie.
And I know God everything. It just required from me.
Amen.
He shed his blood.
Yeah, he did. His royal blood. Be one thing me shed my blood, but he shed his royal blood for you.
And
I appreciate what she said. Yeah.
Calling up the sun.
Heaven.
He'll never be left.
That's right. Amen, Sister Sophie. I like that what she said. She said, I wanted to get up and run too. You know, that's what God is. He makes you want to get up and run. Sometimes you don't even know where you're going. You just know what you're going for. You're going for the glory of God. See, my pastor one time take his coat off and throw it over there, and by the time it hit, he done went out of the church, made 3 laps around it, come back in, said, don't ask me. You're wasting your time. He said, every now and then it gets bigger and you just got to do something. You don't know what to do. And he said, I'll tell you right now, I just got blessed. I'll do it again if God bid me to again.
When I come back tonight with Bobby, I'll pray I'll have something good to tell you about my sister.
It'll be all right,
son. My brother, he called me for
yeah.
They wouldn't let him stay with him. Said you just have to with him. Said you just have to sit in the lobby all night.
He'll be all right. God's bigger than that. I tell you what, buddy, we got more God than we need. And I'm preaching about that a little bit tonight. She said she's going to try to come back tonight. I bid you come back tonight. Bring your neighbor and family if you can. I'm more excited about preaching tonight than I was this morning. That's why I got mixed up. And when I was reading, I thought, am I reading the right thing? But I just got mixed up on which message I'm supposed to preach this morning, which one I'm supposed to preach tonight. I'll be preaching out of 1 Kings tonight. And hallelujah. And come back tonight. Come back tonight just to enjoy the things of God. Man, you can have as much as you want. You come back and get a second helping. You come back and get a third or a fourth or as much as you want. God's got ample supply. Who else got a word this morning? Man, let's just enjoy the things of God. Let the world have the things of the world. Let's just enjoy the things of God. Anybody else got anything in your heart?
I thank the Lord for the message, Brother Eddie.
Bless just coming.
You know, I came to church this morning to hear about my Lord.
Heaven.
That's the reason I'm here.
Amen.
And I pray His name when I can hear it.
Heaven.
I want to thank Him for the church that stands beside this road.
Yeah.
You know, there's been people here and sitting in these little benches, and sometimes I can see Miss Bennett and all of them.
Yeah.
They left good testimony. They
Amen.
Come and they didn't feel good, and they
Dill and Joyce.
Benches and lifted people up.
Dill and Joyce Wilson used to sit right there. I love to hear old Brother Wilson shout, "Whoa!"
We need to tell the people about the good news.
Amen.
I
appreciate what Carolyn said about this little church on the side of the road. That's all it is until God's Spirit comes in, and then it becomes alive. It's kind of like, you know, if I was laying there comatose and they put their whatever things is, they hit them together and put them down on your chest and you start jumping around, that's about the way God does the church every now and then. Brings us back to life. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. Yeah. Who else?
I think about Miss Noni. She sat right there on the second seat.
Amen.
I loved her.
I miss Wanda.
Yeah.
Miss Charlotte. And I name them one by one. Just like they're still here, I'll still name them. I've got them categorized where they all sit. And that's one thing a pastor does. He learns his flock, learns their names, and tries to learn their needs, and tries to pray accordingly. Who else got a word? All right, let's be dismissed.
Once
the
word gets saved, things
there is losing their mates. Yeah, they do. Whole song said they grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
So much better, so much more wonderful to be a Christian
than
it is to be a lost person as you're seeking pleasure and finding
them. I'm telling you. I'll tell you what, I wish I'd got in sooner. Yeah. I'm through death to be in, but don't get me wrong, the only regret I got, I wish I'd got in sooner. I didn't know what I was missing out on. I've been lied to and deceived, and for lack of better words, been held back longer than I wished I had. I wished I'd got into that age 18. I just imagine, praise God, I might have been next Billy Sunday. God might have been able to got in there and got a work in me earlier. I might have had a little more life in me and went, amen. I don't know about y'all, but I want to do what I can while I can, while I'm still able. I believe there's some things we need to be doing. Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, told his mother, "Know you not. I must be about my Father's business." I believe our Father has a business. I believe we're co-laborers together in the work of God. We need to be busy. We're done? Let's stand. Brother Melvin, you dismiss us, please, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for the message. Lord, we pray that you have to be answered in your
name. Yes, Lord, help us. Help us, Father. Yes, help it, I pray. Send it like a beagle hound after a rabbit, Lord. Find wherever they're at. Flush them out.